Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome to White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks its guests three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine. And this week, my guest is a man I never tire of talking to, a genuine bona fide national treasure whose 50-plus years working as an actor, presenter, and a panto dame means he's so well-known he, like Madonna, needs only one name. Born in Oldham, but raised in Salisbury, he landed his first role in theatre in panto at the age of 16, and 57 years later is quite literally the godfather of pantomime. As well as working harder than Santa at Christmas, he's also gained critical acclaim for his roles in Poldark, I, Claudius, The Rocky Horror Show, and will be forever remembered as Lukewarm in Porridge. In the 80s, he started presenting hit kids' TV shows like On Safari and Rent-A-Ghost before becoming a Saturday night primetime star alongside Cilla Black on Surprise, Surprise. In recent years, he's become a firm favourite on reality TV shows like Celebrity MasterChef, Gone to Pot, more of that later, and most famously, as the winner of The Jungle in I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here back in 2007. He lives in London with his husband, Neil, and is never not a great partner in conversations. It's Biggins. So let's dial him up. How are ya?
Very well, Kate. How are you? Looking gorgeous in red.
Oh, thanks, darling. As are you. Are you well? Is life good?
Yeah, well, life is very good. Last year was my year of becoming a bionic man because beginning of the year, I had a heart operation. I had a new valve put in.
Blimey.
So I've got a wonderful scar down from there down to there where they took out everything and moved it around. And then later in the year, I had a new knee put in. So I've got a fabulous new knee.
Blimey, Biggins, you really have been busy.
Yes, I know. It's been, and all through the NHS, which I have to say, I know everybody goes on about the NHS, but the NHS are absolutely superb. I mean, absolutely wonderful. And if you're prepared to wait, the National Health is the best service you could ever get.
Absolutely. Oh, God. Where would we have been without them these last few years, eh?
I know.
How's January for you? Because you are literally busier than Santa at Christmas. What does January normally look like for you after a big run in panto?
Usually, panto after panto run, it's holiday, you know, yeah. And it's trying to work out. But of course, this, because of the pandemic, and interestingly enough, I'll tell this story before I tell the next story, is that we finished 2 weeks ago in Dartford on a Sunday, and every day we had to do the test. So on the Sunday morning, I did the test, and I was positive.
No.
And so I missed the last two shows, which was disaster.
Oh.
So normally, I had to self-isolate, of course, like we all have to. But I did manage to get a couple of parties in at 10 Downing Street, which was fabulous. And the wine flowed.
Was it a meeting, Chris? Was it business?
Was exactly. I was thinking about becoming Prime Minister. I was just getting a few tips.
So, Biggins, this is how White Wine Question Time works. I come up with three thought-provoking questions that are devised to help me rummage around in your fascinating life. So are you ready for question number one? In 1999, you were featured on This Is Your Life with your family and the likes of Joan Collins, Cilla Black, Gillian Telfort, Bonnie Langford, Barbara Windsor and Linda Bellingham in attendance. But I wondered, if the show were made today, which new friends would be included in the lineup, and why is it important to keep making new friends and making space for new relationships?
Well, it's interesting you should ask this question. And the question, you know, that what you mentioned is that I continue to make new friends. I have to slightly disagree with you, because in fact, as I'm getting older, I'm not losing friends through death or anything like that, but I'm losing friends because friends are exhausting. I mean, you can have them and they're wonderful, but time is of an essence. And I want to do more things with Neil, my husband, and, you know, cut down in a way, because they are quite demanding friends. And I'm not going to give any friend up, and I love everybody. And I'm very, very lucky to have met some wonderful people in my life. So the answer to the question is, of course, there are people I would add to the list that I have. And for instance, there's some friends of ours called the Bamfords, who own a company called JCB, and she owns a food company called Dalesford. I would have to have them.
I mean, they're fancy Biggins. They are fancy country folk, aren't they?
They are fancy country folk, but they are very kind and very generous, and I adore them. And there would be Shirley Ballas, who, you know, the judge on Strictly Come Dancing, who's your friend. I mean, you know, you do meet people all the time and you think, oh, they're lovely. I mean, last night we went to a dinner and there were some new people there who were lovely. But I'm not so sure I'm going to ring them up and say, look, would you like to become my best, newest best friend? Because, you know, I'm 73 years old now, and there's a sort of a time to run down and enjoy what one has at the moment. And making new friends is quite an effort, I think, you know, if you're going to make them properly.
So what made Shirley the exception? She's actually been on the show before, and I can understand why you two would have hit it off quick smart.
Well, she is great, great fun. I admire her in the show. I love the show. I mean, I thought this year's show was wonderful. I mean, the winner was obviously going to be that lovely girl, and she deserved to win. But I love the two boys.
Did you?
And I thought the two boys dancing were just simply fantastic. Really good. What I like about Shirley is she's very ordinary in a way, and she's quite starstruck in as much as she, you know, she's not from that showbiz field. You know, she's more of an ordinary woman who is brilliant at what she does, and that's judging dancing. And she's a wonderful dancer herself.
Much like Len, actually. I think Len was in his 60s when he took to the panel on Strictly. So he had a life of being, you know, a champion ballroom dancer, but not a very famous one. So when fame comes late in life, it must be quite an interesting experience.
Yeah, I think it is. I worked years ago with a wonderful, wonderful actress called Peggy Mount. And Peggy, fame came to Peggy when she was in her 60s. And she was wonderful. I mean, I had the best time. We did a play at Regent's Park Open Air Theatre. And the director wasn't that great. And she said to me, she said, over a coffee, she said, Biggins, we're in trouble, dear. I don't know what we're going to do, but he can't direct traffic. So I had to go to the artistic director and say, look, can you help here? And we worked out something, and eventually the production was hugely successful. So things can be done. But she was just, I mean, amazing. I mean, when I think of the people that I've worked with and met over the years, it's been fantastic. I've been very, very lucky in meeting the people that I've met and making them friends.
It's 57 years that you've been working now. It's a lot.
Exactly. I mean, it is a lot. I mean, you know, I suddenly think to myself, my goodness, how have I done this? And I realise that I am 73 years old and I've been in the business for 55 years. I mean, I was when I was 21, I came to London and starred in a children's show called The Owl and the Pussycat Went to Sea, SEE.com. And, you know, that was a wonderful time. And that was my 21st birthday. You know, and it's amazing. You know, when I look back at my CV, I think, my God, the things I've done are fantastic.
I mean, even before you came to London, you'd already had an incredible apprenticeship in theatre due to working at the local rep, which you adored and loved, didn't you?
It was wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. I mean, two weekly rep, I was on £2 a week, heavily subsidised by my parents. And I used to go out propping for the shows. And my parents would come and see the show. And there was more of their furniture and belongings on the stage in Salisbury than there was in their home.
You used to strip the house.
So, I mean, it was fantastic. And we had Stephanie Cole, who was a wonderful actress. And she got me into Bristol Vic Theatre School, which I loved. So those early days, 4 years were so good for me. And I knew what I wanted to do. I learned my craft. I did everything in those 4 years. It was wonderful.
Oh, you really did. I mean, you took on every role imaginable or that you were able to get access to in order to learn your craft. You write wonderfully about Stephanie Cole in your autobiography, in the fact that she kind of blew your mind with her profanities. You weren't used to women using language like she used.
No, I remember we were doing a play and she had to walk down 3 steps. And on each step, she said, fuck, bastard, shit. And it was just wonderful. None of us could believe what she was in, but she did it. And then she realised what she did and she laughed and laughed and laughed. I mean, they were wonderful days, those. They were really wonderful days.
She got you into Bristol Old Vic. That was quite a crew that you studied alongside there. I mean, talk me through who you studied with and they went on to greatness.
Yeah, they did. We had the wonderful Simon Callow. And then we had Tim Pigott-Smith, who was, again, a wonderful actor. And then he passed away. And then we had another actor who I was best man at his wedding. Because what happened was he fell in love with a girl at drama school called Julie Hallam, who was gorgeous. And she was going to be a star. She was going to be she was going to be so big it wasn't true. And they got married, this man and Julie. And I was their best man. And I went on their honeymoon. And surprise, surprise, the marriage only lasted a year. And in a year's time, I was there separating the presents between the two of them. I then went on to introduce him to his now wife, which they're still together after many years and have two wonderful boys. But we never considered this actor to be really a star. He was good. He was good fun. He was lovely, lovely boy, but not going to be a star. And of course, how wrong were we? Because his name was Jeremy Irons.
He's won an Oscar.
And went on to win Oscar. I mean, honestly, talk about being robbed. He is gorgeous, but I still see him and he's a lovely, lovely boy. I'll never forget when I went on their honeymoon and he had a Citroen 2.
Can I just ask why? Why did you go on their honeymoon?
I don't know. They just said, would you like to come?
Did you not think three might be a crowd?
No. I was so egotistical. I didn't think I just wanted to go on holiday. So we went to Spain and we were in the Citroen 2 CV and I sat in the back. And I don't think I'd ever been abroad before. And I didn't know about sun rays. And when I arrived in Spain with the roof down of this car, the Citroen 2 CV, I was completely burnt from head to toe. And they had to spend this first week of our honeymoon putting things on me, lotion, as I lay in a bed and did nothing, and bring food to me. I was like an invalid. It was hysterical. Bed baths by Jeremy Irons. It was wonderful.
And you also set him up with his second wife.
Yes, Shania Cusack. I was doing a play called London Assurance in the West End, and he was doing a show called Godspell, playing Judas in Godspell. And Shania took over from Judy Dench. There's a lovely story about Judy Dench too, because I was the youngest in the company. I used to collect if people were leaving for presents. And Judy was leaving, so I went around collecting money from everybody. And in the head of the company was Donald Sinden. And I went to Donald, I said, Donald, tonight Judy's leaving, as you know, will you present her with her present? So he said, I'd love to. He said, but I've got someone coming to see the show tonight who might be slightly better than me. And he said, I'm going to tell you who it is, but don't tell anybody. So he told me. Well, I couldn't. I was beside myself. Anyway, with the end of the show came, and we all went to Donald's dressing room, and Judy was there, and Donald made a speech. He said, Judy, sadly, you're leaving, but we've collected for something for you. And we couldn't just get any old person to present you with this. And he said, so we've got Princess Grace of Monaco. And in she came from his laboratory. And she walked in. Grace Kelly. She came in and, oh, my God, it was unbelievable. She was so beautiful. She was so gracious. She was funny. And Judy Dench fell on the floor. She literally fell on the floor. I mean, it was just wonderful.
Wow, wow, wow. And listen, that isn't your only blind date experience with the princess, is it?
No. Are you referring to Diana?
I am. And Liza. I mean, listen, as anecdotes go, Liza Minnelli and Princess Diana, I mean, that's the most amazing set of bookends right there.
I know. I was a good friend of Liza's. And then sadly, as the years have gone on, we've lost touch. There's a wonderful story. She was in the Ivy with David Guest, who she was about to marry. And a friend of mine called Petal, who was the most outrageous woman, and a producer were sitting next to them. Well, Petal couldn't believe her luck. She was sitting next to Liza Minnelli. So she started a conversation, and eventually she said to Liza, she said, oh, by the way, Miss Minnelli, we have a mutual friend. And Liza said, who's there? And she said, Biggins. And Liza went, Biggins. And turned to David Guest and said, that's the man I was trying to tell you about. And she turned back to my friend Petal and said, what's his first name again? How the mighty have fallen. I mean, poor girl. I mean,
from hero to zero in one sentence.
Dear, oh dear, oh dear. But I mean, it was, I mean, I spent 3 weeks in Las Vegas with her where she was doing a show. I mean, we had the most wonderful time together. And she was fantastic. I mean, you know, and still is. She's the greatest solo female performer I've ever seen. I mean, you know, forget Streisand, forget all the greats. I mean, she could do everything. Mm. She could sing, she could dance, she could act. I mean, she was just wonderful.
But the story, brilliant. Tell me if I've heard this right. But she calls you one, she's in London, and she says, come and see me, but can you escort a girlfriend of mine?
Yeah, that's right. So she was doing a wonderful show at the Albert Hall. She said, come tonight and see the show again, and I want you to take a girlfriend of mine. So I went to the dressing room and we're laughing and having a drink, you know, a glass of wine or something. And then suddenly the door goes, there's a knock on the door, and I go and open it. And standing there is Princess Diana, which is my date for the evening. And so we all have a drink, and then they say to me, look, you can't go in with the lights up. So we will dim the lights in the auditorium, and then you'll be taken to your seats on the front row of the stalls in the Albert Hall. So we were standing there for about 5 minutes. So I said to her, and I've met her once or twice before, but I mean, this was on a very personal level. And I said to her, I've just seen that wonderful picture, Mom, of you and your boys on Britannia, and you have your arms outstretched and kneeling down, and they're running towards you. Mm-hmm. It's the most wonderful picture. She said, well, you've got to remember that they're the most important things in my life. And that said a lot. And then, of course, it became just the worst tragedy ever. And we were talking about this last night, funny enough. I mean, she still is one of the most glamorous women ever. I mean, she's up there with anybody. I mean, she's extraordinary and sadly missed.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, the last few nights I have been with you revisiting one of my favourite shows ever that you've done, Gone to Pot. Gone to Pot was broadcast in 2018. ITV signed up your good self, Linda Robson, Pam St Clement, Pat Butcher, darts player Bobby George and footballer John Fashanu. And you explain to me the premise of it, because what I want to know is why you said yes, what you got from it, and has it changed your appetite for new experiences?
It certainly has changed my appetite. And I don't know why we didn't do a follow-up or two follow-ups or three follow-ups with that group of people. Because ITV took a group of people and put us in a psychedelic bus and took us to Los Angeles to find out about drugs.
Pot. And about marijuana.
Pot. Yeah, marijuana, yes. And to find out how it started, to meet people who in those early days were taking it for all sorts of reasons, recreational, medical, and thing. And we met some extraordinary people who wouldn't be alive today if they hadn't taken it. I mean, you know, it was a wonderful drug. And by the same token, we heard about stories of people who died, you know, through taking it. So it's a very precarious drug, but it was a wonderful program to do. And then we had the wonderful, I'm going to try on his name now, this is terrible.
Bobby George.
Bobby George, who I adored. And Bobby rang me only a week ago, funny enough, to see how I was.
Did he?
He's outrageous. Of course, the two of us were absolutely, I mean, I made a point of saying to myself, I am not going to get stoned on this program because, you know, you've got to be so careful. So I thought I would, the only thing I would do is I would eat some pot. And this woman made some pasta and put pot in it. And I was starving that particular day. And I ate nearly every single morsel of that pasta. And that night, we went back to, we were staying in a hotel called the Madonna Hotel.
The Madonna Inn,
San Francisco
wasn't it?
And Madonna Inn, yes.
Yeah.
Which is a very famous hotel. All the rooms are themed. And I've always wanted to stay there. And we get in our van, our psychedelic van, and we're driving off. And I don't know where I am. I'm absolutely no idea. I mean, I could have been anywhere. And it took me and four or five men to walk me out of the bus. And so we walked into this hotel, which I can't remember anything about the hotel. And I was put into bed, fully clothed. And I managed to go to sleep. And apparently they came in every hour to see if I was still alive.
So let's just set this out. So basically, ITV sent you on a road trip to travel through, to travel a route where pot and marijuana is entirely legal in Los Angeles, so you could explore the health benefits or not of it, to raise the debate, to have the conversation, but also to immerse yourselves in the experience. So you went out there thinking, I'm not going to smoke it, but I will eat it, not realizing that eating it gets you really stoned if you eat too much.
I mean, really stoned. I mean, and both Bobby George and I did eat too much of it.
You had a whitey, didn't you? You had a proper whitey.
Proper whitey. And we were staying in this hotel, which I'd always wanted to stay in. And when I woke up in the morning, I was in a cave. When I thought I've died and gone to hell, because it was a terrible cave with big stones, and there were stones on the floor, and there were vines hanging all around it. In fact, I was in a prehistoric room or something, you know, and I went to the...
It looked like the Flintstones set.
It did like the Flintstones, absolutely, absolutely. And it took me a good... Well, it took us both, Bobby and I, to 24 hours to get out of that syndrome. And it was a whitey and a half, as they say.
I mean, Bobby cried actual tears and started wailing and saying, I want my mummy. And this was a man in his 70s. I mean, how much had you eaten?
Oh, God, too much. And this woman who cooked it had put so much stuff in there that we had no idea what we were doing. I mean, it was just ludicrous. I mean, it was extraordinary. I mean, but it was a wonderful experience. And, of course, I came away from it knowing how important the drug is. For medical reasons. I mean, it does help so many people. We met so many people who were being cured, who were being helped physically and mentally by the drug. I mean, it was just wonderful. And I think if taken within realms of knowing what you're doing, it would be fantastic.
Well, the science backs up exactly that. But like all drugs, you have to use it sensibly, moderately, and know what you're doing. And at least in these cases, they were, you know, they were dosing, weren't they? So, you knew, I mean, when you ate the brownies, for example, even on a recreational level, they were like, well, that's a light buzz. That's going to get you really stoned. And the one in the middle, well, you know, bit of both. But you kind of knew what you were getting into.
Yeah, we did, exactly. But it was a wonderful road trip, wonderful road trip.
But after taking part in Gone to Pot, has it given you an appetite to remain open to new things that maybe... you'd already formed a harsh judgment around, like marijuana?
No, I think it totally. I mean, I'm for it in a big way, because I think what it does is fantastic. I mean, it really does help the majority of people who are suffering.
And I think who are using it medically.
They're using it medically. I mean, you know, and whatever does anyone does in their own life is up to them. But I mean, certainly medically, it is a fantastic drug.
What other new experiences has that encouraged you to dive into?
I think it's opened my mind to people in as much as, you know, I think we judge people too readily. And so it's you have to think about what other people's problems are and why they react somehow to you. I mean, John Fashionow, you know, opened my eyes. I mean, he's not my best friend, as I said, but I could understand his problems and the problems that he had and was about to have and still probably has got. I mean, you know, he has a lovely daughter. And so there's lots of reasons why you shouldn't be too judgmental of people. Yeah. And I think that's one of the things I learned, which is good, which again goes back to the friendship bit. You know, my friends are very important to me, the ones I have, and I absolutely love them.
And who have you kept in touch with from that trip? Obviously, Bobby called you this week to see how you're doing. Is Pam still in touch?
Yeah, Pam's still in touch. And Linda, I spoke to 2 days ago. Yeah, we're neighbours, and we share an actress friend called Leslie Joseph. Mm-hmm. So we go out for meals, and she has... 3 wonderful children, and her son is absolute Louis, who is absolutely brilliant musician. And he's very, very clever. So I adore him. And we all go. So we're a bit like family with Linda. She's wonderful.
Oh, that's so nice to hear. Okay, my final question. What are the wrong turns, or at the time what felt like wrong decisions in life, that turned out actually to be a complete blessing in disguise for you?
I think, funnily enough, it's another reality show. And the show that I'm thinking of and has been the most important show in my life, the most important thing I've ever done. People say to me, what is your job that you've loved the most? And the answer to that is, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here.
I'm so surprised that you say that. Why is that? I'm genuinely interested.
Well, I say it because it's true. And you go into that jungle and you go in one of 13 or 14 people, however many it is. And I found it the most exhilarating experience ever. I just loved every moment. I didn't think I was going to win. And when you win, voted in by the general public, it's extraordinary. I mean, that is what makes it so special, that you find out the love that you have from the public. And it was amazing. And yet, now I did meet some, and you know, I don't see them all the time, but I do try and keep in touch with people that we were in the jungle with, and they were such wonderful people, and we had the best time ever.
Did you go in late as well, Biggin?
Yes, I went in 3 days late, yes. And I was confronted by the awful Janice Dickinson, the American model. And it was first of all, when I met her, I thought, well, she's quite camp and lovely. Then it turned out that she was the most hideous woman I've ever met in my life. And she's certainly not on my Christmas card list, I can tell you.
Get off the fence. Remind me why she was so offensive.
Well, she was vulgar. She was vile to a lot of the other contestants in the show. She manufactured rows. She hurt a lot of people. She upset a lot of people. I mean, it was. And when I did when I went in, we did a live trial, and it was just her and me. And she did nothing. At the time, I didn't realise she'd done nothing. I was the one who was covered in insects and glue and terrible stuff. And she came back pristine because she didn't do anything. And I got all the stars. And it was then I realised what a bitch she was. And in the end, it was between the two of us. She was the finalist. I was the finalist. And then I was still at that particular point convinced that Anne Dec were going to say, and this year, the queen of the jungle is Janice Dickinson. And when they said king, I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't believe it. And her face was a picture. She was not pleased.
Was she not?
Oh, no. She got in a car immediately and went to the airport and left.
Did she?
Yeah, she did. I mean, she was extraordinary. And
Did you ever see her again after that?
We met on the Terry Wogan show. Or was it Jonathan Ross? One of those. And we were both on the show. And she said, she did apologise. She said, I know I was very badly behaved, but that's what my business is all about. So she put it on herself.
Listen, you're no stranger to a diva, but diva to the truest sense of the word, right?
Exactly. And I wouldn't put up with it from Janice Dickinson. I mean, she was horrible to a lot of people on that show. I mean, she was, you know, not nice at all. And I did ask her once to apologise. And she said, why should I apologise? Because why would you make me apologise to that woman? I said, because you're not a very nice person, you know. So it was a very interesting. But of course, in a way, I think that I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here thrives if people don't get on. And of course, the producers, I'm sure, were encouraging her to do things, you know, that she perhaps might not normally do. And I think it's become the jungle. I mean, I would be very disappointed if I was in the jungle now and I had to go to Wales to a car.
Yeah.
God. But I mean, you know, it was. It still is the best show on television, I think, the best reality TV show. Mm. I mean, it's just wonderful. And the boys are fantastic.
It's the ultimate popularity contest, isn't it? And I can understand why you've explained that. Why it felt so important to you, because it was affirmation.
I mean, if it was voted in by any other way, you wouldn't think anything of it. But the public, and that I said to the producer, the executive producer at the time, the following day, I said, was there much between us? And she said, oh, my God, you were way ahead. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So So that was always very encouraging. But
maybe her bad behaviour and your response to it helped you to win the show.
Well, possibly could, because I stood up to her.
Yeah.
I think the public could see that, And I wouldn't put up with her rubbish.
Having none of it, Biggins. It takes a lot to rile you, but once you go, I can imagine that you are quite hairdryer.
Not very nice.
I'm sure Neil will be nodding in the next room going, that's right. But why did the jungle feel like a wrong turn or a wrong decision before you'd done it? Was it something you were nervous, a little bit of trepidation around doing it?
I was favourite for the boys, Ads and Deck, to do it. And they always asked me, and I was always doing a pantomime because that's the same time of year. So they asked me one year to do it in January. And I thought, now what should I do? Well, this is very, because you've seen the show so many times that it can make or break people. And, the strongest people, and nobody wants to go out first.
No
one wants to go out at all, really. I mean, you know, every day when you're sitting on your log and the boys come in and say, who's being evicted, it's a terrifying moment. That's the most horrible moment. And so you don't want that. And so you try and stick clear of that. But the thing that happens in there is you don't think about anything. You just think about what you've got to do. And some of the things I had to do, I was put in an underground cave with Anna Ryder Richardson, and they let in, it was pitch black, and they had night camera on us, and they let in 200 rats. And there's the marvellous moment where one of the rats got on my crutch, and I thought it was my water bottle. And I nestled this rat on my crutch, and I put it there, and then I realised what it is, and I throw it off. And you can still see it on YouTube. It's a great, great moment. I think that was one of the moments that I won it. The other, when I did a charade, and the charade is you play with different parts of your body. So how can I put this in the kind of, so you start off by, touching your tits, your there, and people are shouting out, try and get what the thing is, and they're shouting bosoms, tits, all these things. And then you go down lower and you start your crutch, and all these dirty things are coming out. And then you say, forget it. And it's nothing. I just wanted to hear you all talk dirty. that, I think, won it for me, because it did go on much longer than that. And it was, I did all various parts of my body, and people were screaming, all the other contestants were screaming out the filthiest things, I can't tell you. And it was a wonderful moment. And I think that was one of the reasons I won.
Oh, because I'm so glad that you did. And that you are still winning. Listen, you're 50, however many years in, still working, still at the heart of the industry. And I commend you and applaud you, sir. Thank you so much for your time today.
Kate, it's been an absolute joy. You're a divinity.
Oh, I love that. I'm going to take that. That's the nicest thing anyone said to me all year. If you've loved listening in with Christopher Biggins, he's got his own podcast. It's brilliant. It's called Show and Tell, and you can get it wherever you get your podcasts. As always, White Wine Question Time is produced by me, Kate Thornton, with Ben Robbins for Yahoo UK and the Yahoo Studios team. Our music, as always, comes from Andy Bell, and we'll be back next week with more great guests. Until then, take care out there.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.